Nobody else touches my garbage but me. It might be special, and I don't know until I touch every piece of it.
What's up, Internet? You're listening to the Making Geeks Podcast, a podcast for makers, families, and geeks. We have a very special show for you this week. We're going to be doing a retrospective of Schwartz that we'll introduce shortly. But I first want to introduce two longtime friends of the show who are with us right now, Mr. Corey Irwin and Mr. Seth Williams.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good to see you guys. Well, kind of hear Seth because we can't see him right now. If you're on the video feed, Seth is just dialed in with audio. But if you're an audio listener, you're not going to know the difference anyways. But how are you guys doing? It's been a long time since we've seen or talked to either of you.
Yeah, been a couple of years.
Yeah, too long.
Like five?
Has it been 5 years since Boston?
I think it has.
It's funny you bring that up, because that's kind of what we wanted to talk about tonight. That's what we call a segue in the business.
We're just a little bit early on it.
No, that's perfect.
Try not to roll, you know, on this segue.
Oh.
Yep.
I got dad jokes and no kids.
Oh, it's a crying shame.
I know, right?
Well, they're not wasted on us, so you're in good company.
That's true. We need more ammunition.
So, since Corey already kind of mentioned 5 years since Boston, that's kind of the topic we'll be talking about tonight. 5 years ago is when the Making Geeks podcast had their very first live show, and it was at the Converse World headquarters in Boston, and we got invited to be one of the invited podcasts. And the whole event was supposed to be the celebration of episode 100 of the Making It podcast. But we got to be part of that event and do a live show on stage. And I think it was the first event. Was this before Maker Faire or after Maker Faire? No, it was after Maker Faire. Right?
It was before, I think.
No, because Maker Faire is the first time I ever met you in person. I think it was a couple months after.
Okay. Yeah, it was the first. Yeah, I think you're getting to this. It's the first time that we as podcast members ever met physically in the same place, though.
Yeah, as a group, because I had not met Josh in person and I had not met Mark in person at that time. You're the only one I had met in person.
That's right. Yep.
You know, now that I think about it, Wes, it kind of seems like you were, who would it have been? I was going to use like a Justice League reference, but I don't want to call you Ben Affleck. Maybe more like Nick Fury gathering all the Avengers together.
Nick Fury. That works for me. Yeah, it was definitely after Maker Faire, the first one, because I remember William Lutz, who was in attendance at Making It 100, and I remember him and his hugs, and I'd experienced them before in California. That's how I knew to anticipate them at Making It 100, and so...
Yeah, those hugs have become legendary.
That's right.
I think that was the first time I had been or met a lot of... I guess what's kind of become the group at this point too. And it was a really, really cool event. And of course, that's where I met Corey for the first time. And we also met Seth for the first time, which I don't know if we want to hold that story for later or maybe
talk about that. No, let's get into it. Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Actually, maybe Seth, would you mind talking about how you ended up being at that event in Boston?
Sure. Well, let's see. I knew I had been listening to Making It and you guys and say who else? Well, the Reclaimed Audio. And there was another one too, wasn't it? There?
I believe there was.
Dusty Life.
Dusty Life. You're right.
I'd been listening to all four of you guys already. And so, of course, Making It put it out that they were going to do it. And I had a buddy that lived in Boston area, and I knew he from Instagram that he was kind of doing some little stuff on the side. So I asked him if he wanted to go, and he had actually been listening to Making It. So when the Eventbrite listed their tickets, we both tried to get two tickets, and I think we ended up getting four. So I was able to cancel those. So luckily we were able to get in because they were going to be limited at first. And then I think they opened it up to a few more after the fact, but because I think they might have changed venues from where they originally did it. But I had never been to make an event yet. I didn't know anybody, wasn't in part of any Facebook group, so I was just going with my old college roommate, and we were going to meet up there and squirrel ninja my way in and and whatnot, and ended up meeting all you guys. And then Wes got me into the I Like to Make Stuff Facebook group, the original.
Yep.
And see, I know I sat next to Nick Carruthers, the grain doctor. And actually on the other side was Derek from Malden before he met Jimmy, before any of this. So it was just funny for seeing where he was then to where he is now. It's kind of a lot of people have moved up in the world, so to speak. So
yeah, I have fond memories of the event. And then also, of course, there's always in addition to the actual main event, quote unquote, there's always the tangential activities and things, usually meals and gatherings around it. And I have distinct memories of walking across that bridge across the river in the frigid air. Yeah. In December in Boston.
Yeah. There was like a herd restaurant of us.
Yeah.
A lot of us were going over following Jimmy because he had a bunch of tools that he was giving away out of the back of his truck.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. That was quite a sight to see too.
Yeah.
Looked like someone giving away humanitarian aid.
It basically was, yeah. Yeah, that's the first and only time I've been to Boston myself, and I remember sitting with Sean, and I think we both had clam chowder, New England clam chowder there.
I think it's mandatory.
It was mandatory, yeah. It was really good too, and it wasn't the first time, or first or only time we went to that same restaurant. I think we revisited it, I believe, twice, maybe not. I think we had tried to, like, on the consecutive nights or something like that. I think we tried looking at other places, and we're like, oh, we walked around a little bit. That's how I kind of remember it. I could be misremembering, but I seem to remember getting like meandering around, trying to find something else. Places were booked because it was a weekend. And I think we ended up going to the same place again because I think I had like I think it was like roast beef or something. I was looking through some older pictures from that event, trying to like piece together a rough timeline.
Thank God for pictures because my memory's getting worse every year.
It's so bad. Yeah, it really is.
If I remember correctly, Wes, didn't you and I stay at a hotel, and then the following night we were in the Airbnb?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Because I remember, I think it was the hotel. I don't remember
It was a nicer hotel toward the center of town, I think.
It was a Residence Inn on like the 23rd Wharf or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm just going to say yes because I don't know.
They had
some
sort of shopping mall or like just exhibition hall. I think we met underground or something like that.
It was attached to the mall. Because I remember us walking through like a Tesla location.
Yeah, they had a Tesla dealership in the mall. And this was 5 years ago when that was still very, very new. And that was the first time I've ever seen one. Or even, I think they had them, you could sit in them or at least touch them and stuff. And that was like the new hotness.
I didn't want to leave the store.
I think a Model X there. Yeah, it was really cool. Now I had like several memories of that was cemented in my mind. So then we had reserved an Airbnb. I had reserved one, and it was
the Airbnb was special.
Yes. So it was like this little brick, I don't even know what you call it, two bedroom apartment, basically had one bathroom, a crummy kitchen. And
it was like something out of the communist bloc of Russia.
It kind of was. Yeah.
Half the outlet covers were broken off.
Yeah, the toilet was in a different room than the actual rest of the bathroom, quote unquote, like with the sink. Like it had like a water closet independent of it. And so that made for some interesting interactions. And we had 9 people crammed into there. I don't know
what building code is.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of weight in a very small space. And we have some big guys in our group, you know, and we're not exactly small as is.
There was 3 bedrooms. There were 3 bedrooms. That's right. Somehow I did bedroom. The math, or at least people had to say what?
With the mystery bedroom.
Yes. There was like a futon or something and some other things out in the common area and the living room, quote unquote. But it basically spilled into the kitchen from what I remember. So to call it a living room is a little generous. Some people had more intimate knowledge of that region than others. I didn't get a bed to myself. It's appropriate phrasing. I didn't get a bed to myself. I had the futon, I believe. And Corey was supposed to have had a bed with
I was supposed to, but yes. Somehow either the math went wrong or we had had one too many at the pub that night. And for some odd reason, I thought all beds were taken. So I slept in the middle of the kitchen, living room, common area.
And then we wake up the next morning. I believe I was cooking pancakes and people start, you know, waking up with the wafting sound or smell of pancakes and the commotion, everything. People get up. And then the third middle bedroom opens up and Andrew Setters, who was the only tenant in that room that night, walked out. And he's like stretching his arms like, oh, I had the greatest night of sleep of my life, stretching his arms. And we're like, wait a minute, you slept by yourself? Yeah. I mean, I think he's someone to come in there, but yeah, it was a little questionable, but speaking of which, we have another person that just rolled in, similar to how we rolled into the Airbnb. We have Mark Schaefermeyer. Mister, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing better now, you know, that I can have my own bed.
Well, Mark and I had shared the bed. So in a lot of ways, he had it better because, you know, he had less than a 50% chance of being kicked, since, you know,
that's true.
I'm kind of lacking the capacity to do so.
You know, what's really funny, Sean, is that, you know, since that event, I've been commissioned to make another artificial leg lamp.
As he holds up a demonstration of that. Oh, no.
That's cool. I have a couple of those floating around. I can send you one out. It'll be a supersized one compared to that, though.
Right? Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Just getting ready for Christmas and getting things organized here, trying to. So.
Yeah. Nice of you to roll in here. We were just talking about the Airbnb and how we, our first couple of nights there at the event.
Reminiscing of Boston.
Yes.
And those wonderful pancakes. Oh,
you have any they were successful of that event.
We need another event like that to happen.
I've still yet to have the pancakes. Very disappointed.
Gourmet.
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. I had met you previously at the Maker Faire, right, in California, and you had not expected originally to get access to this event. So, if you'd like to explain how that went down, I would love to hear that again.
No. So yeah. So we met at Maker Faire, and I don't think we Airbnb'd there, did we?
No,
because
that was there with your wife.
Yeah, so that was been my second or third Maker Faire. I don't know, probably my second.
I want to say it's anyway, your second. Yeah,
and so we met there, and I'd heard about the Making It 100 from the Making It guys and stuff, and you know, knew that the whole thing was being organized, and I'd looked at flights and I thought, I can't make that. I can't do that. I don't want to leave my wife with the kids and everything else and whatnot. And, you know, the timing just wasn't going to be right for me. And I get these messages from Wes, you know, cause I kept looking at like hotels to stay at and stuff. And I was just like, that's just too expensive. And I get this message from Wes that's like, dude, you need to come. I'm like, I know I really want to. I'm like, but I don't know. The money's not there. And and so then you sent me a message and was like, yeah, just check flights. They're only like $190 or something direct from Salt Lake. Anyways, so I looked at it and I was like, yeah, but and talked with my wife a little bit. Hey, you know, Wes is, you know, itching to get me out there. And then Wes is like, I've got this Airbnb with like five other guys or something like that at the time. And
at the time, the count hadn't gotten that high yet.
And I remember Wes said, you know, if money's really an issue, I think we'd be able to, you know, float you and you'd be able to, you know, just come or something. We'd take care of it. And I was like, I'm not going to let that happen. Like, you know, and so he convinced me, and sure enough, I bought the ticket. And like, he's like, it'll be fun, you know, Tony will be there, and Paul, and I forget who else. You said we're gonna be there. I knew Sean was gonna be there, of course. yeah, I was like, well, it'd be fun. You know, I'm going to go, this is my first event outside, you know, outside of Maker Faire that I'm going to. And yep, I'm going to go back to Boston by myself and shack up with a bunch of guys. That's like, that I've never met before. Okay.
Standard fare so, nowadays.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way for sure.
And Wes has an annoyingly great ability to remove your excuses.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. He's very influential.
Yeah, but Mark, didn't you end up being the big winner too?
Of the event? That's what I remember.
No. So that was the MakerCast giveaway, which was pre making it.
It was just so before it though, right?
Yeah, that was just before. Like,
I forgot, what did you win?
Because I remember.
And John was going to be in attendance, I believe, or something.
Right? Yeah, he was going to be the moderator.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's out in the shop, but that's when I took Tony Rouleau's number one block plane back with me so that he could, you know, so that he could see it again. Cause he hadn't started selling them at all back by then. And so I took it back with me, cause I was like, oh, it'd be fun for Tony to see it again, you know, and for other makers there to actually see it and hold it and everything. And so
yeah, it was amazing to see. I remember you passed it around and we all got to see it.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
Cause it's a work of art. I've used it a few times and I feel bad every time I do it. I'm like, this is so wrong. But it's funny because after that event, I think Tony's the one that hit me up later on and was like, hey, can you take some dimensions on that? He's like, I've, you know, and so I'm sitting here with my calipers, you know, taking shots of it and send them to him and everything. And he's like, perfect, thanks, you know. And then he started making them. So, yeah. And I remember one time I was on a chat with Izzy Swan and he asked to see it. And so I showed it to him and he's like, I'll give you $1,000 for it right now. I was like, I can't. I was like, I can't do it. Sorry. But yeah, it was a whirlwind of a trip for sure for me. Like, and then, you know, some of the highlights were at the after party at the bar there. And we were getting ready to leave or something and saying goodbye to people. And I just remember Jimmy Diresta was like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, Andreas, who was there as well, he'd invited me to go, you know, do some other stuff, at some other museum or whatever. And I was like,
you had a couple extra days beyond. Yeah.
And so he was like, well, hey, we're, you know, a couple of us are going to MIT. You want to go and tour MIT? And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And so, yeah, so that whole event happened where, you know, Wes and I and a couple other people got to go and tour
driven
MIT.
Jimmy's truck to MIT.
To MIT and the Asylum, the Ark Asylum, or what is that was called? The Asylum. I know that. I don't remember what it is.
Oh, Artist Maker Asylum. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
The Artist Asylum, yeah.
One of the biggest ones in the nation, I believe. It's still there. That was amazing.
That was just, I look back at that trip and I'm just like, that's how a university should run. Is like MIT. Like
So this makerspace, they literally had signs up like warning of different things, you guys. And some of those signs are really weird. And there was one, it said something like, people build like straight up battle bots there for competition. Mm-hmm. Like that's the scale of makerspace and the prestigiousness of it. And they had a sign that said like no stomping robots, I believe. And we were like, what the heck is that about? And like, oh, this one guy for the locomotion system for the battle bot, they made it like stomp like a pogo stick and it like annihilated the floor. Uh-huh. And so then they had to make a rule because no one thought they had to make a rule for this because no one had thought of it. And they made that rule. And there were all kinds of weird signs like that throughout the place. That would just crack me up.
And random booths, they're like, nope, can't take pictures of this one or whatever.
Right, and they're like, oh, down that hall is a nuclear reactor. We can't go down there. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like for the students to mess with. Like, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, there's some crazy memories And like the kind of initial spark for like lots of friendships that have like really remained and continue.
Oh, yeah.
Really been awesome. That's the biggest takeaway for me, definitely.
Yeah.
Besides a pair of custom Converse with my logo on them, but that's beside the point.
You know, I did some looking into a couple of things, and out of all the podcasts that presented that day, the only ones left are our podcast and Making It.
Yeah.
We're one of the last original podcasts left. Yep. It's kind of cool.
The OGs.
So Donovan, we really wish that you were there with us, because I think you were there in spirit, but we and you didn't know it yet.
Yeah. I think that was before my time, actually.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you start listening to and getting into all the Making It stuff?
January 2017.
You remember specifically?
Mm-hmm. So you remember this occurring then?
Yeah, because January was when I started. Wes and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago, going back through messages and everything, scrolling up to the very top to see when he started messaging me, because he started messaging me in February. So it was when he first reached out, the Wes Webb.
In 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because by then I had made my my little Star Wars theater for my kids, and yeah, that was the start of it.
A blur, man. Jeez. It's weird because it feels like a blur and it feels like 10 years ago at the same time. Does anybody else feel like that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Time is like this weirdly changing concept in terms of like scale, where it seems a lot longer ago than what it actually was. And like I said, it's a good thing we have these pictures, because it's kind of a reminder of when these things occurred. And maybe I'll post on either my Instagram or on the Making Geeks Instagram or Twitter some of those pictures, just kind of as a reminder of some of those things that we're talking about. Because it was a really cool event. And I think I credit it for giving the podcast a little bit of a bump in terms of exposure, but also in our desire to kind of like do better, because it honestly was not that great of an outing for us. But then also personally, because before that, you know, I wasn't very social with people to begin with, but that was kind of a reason to be a little bit more forward and talkative and social and making connections. And, you know, being a almost 40-year-old adult male at that time, and, you know, trying to learn how to make friends, you know, in this new venue was something kind of new. And I think it was really important. And I would also credit it for a lot of other changes in my professional life too, because it opened so many other doors and other interests and kind of made me a little bit hungrier for change and wanting to improve things. So yeah, it did a lot of things in those 5 years.
Well, you guys hadn't all met yet, had you? In person?
Boston was the first time we'd all been in the same spot at the same time.
Yeah.
I made the joke a lot over the years that, you know, until that moment, other than Wes, they were all figments of my imagination.
They were your imaginary friends.
Yep.
Yeah, my coworkers and friends back here give me crap for every year when I say I'm going to see all my online friends when I go up to Tony's or whatnot or any of the other local stuff. So, all right, yeah, you go play with your friends this weekend. Sure.
It's kind of hard to explain to a lot of people, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah. Maker, what do you mean?
I have friends, and they're real.
Yeah. Talking to other guys on the internet? I hear stories about stuff like that.
Leave me alone, Mom.
Like, is anybody else? That's one of the other ones. Because, like, you know, there's people that'll send me stuff, and they're like, hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, yeah, that's my buddy. Like,
yeah. I love being able to say that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, we've hung out. You know, like, I remember one guy at work was watching one of Wes's videos of embedding the NES in the thump, and I was like, yeah, I've slept with that guy. Just because, you know, it makes it sound so weird.
Oh, it makes it better, yeah.
You're part of the fun.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Corey?
Was anybody surprised with, like, you know, somebody they hadn't met? You know, because I mean, everybody has these, you know, personas, and you get built up who they are from their online presence. But, you know, like, you know, obviously Jimmy, the godfather, you know, is just such a nice, caring individual. And then, you know, like, everybody you meet is awesome. But like, there was the dynamic of like, well, I've seen you, and, you know, I would have thought you were, you know, 8 feet tall, and it's like, you know, you're 4 feet or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, you're not what I completely imagined you would be from what you put out online.
Luckily enough, I'd met all of them at Maker Faire a couple of months before. And that's where that actually took place. You know, I got to talk and hang out with Jimmy for a little while. So that kind of helped kind of, you know, demystify that. And luckily enough, I think everybody that I met is pretty much how I would have expected them to be, for the most part. I can't speak for everybody else, but at least in my experience, it was pretty much the way I would hope it would have been, which is really kind of cool, because I know that doesn't happen that way with other people that are usually like considered celebrities, which I know that, you know, like Bob, Jimmy, and David, and all those don't like the idea of celebrity, but in our group, they kind of are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a bunch of cool dudes.
Yeah. Josh was shorter than I expected.
You say Josh?
Yeah.
Mark was a lot bigger.
Of course, yeah, there's Mark.
Mark looked like a giant.
Yeah. Where is Mark nowadays?
He's working. He's changed careers. He's doing well. I still keep in touch with him.
He's not joining the podcast tonight?
Probably not.
That's all right.
What's your most, what's probably your strongest memory of the Boston event? Or the thing that stands out to you the most from it? I still have like a vivid image of Corey being dragged on the sheets through the house out of the kitchen so Wes can start cooking, but that's his good old humor.
Yeah, I took up all that floor space in that kitchen. I remember walking home from the pub with you, Sean, mm-hmm. and it was so cold in that apartment. I mean, it might have just been because, you know, I was still freezing from the night before. But I cranked every heating element I could find in those baseboard heaters and then turned on the gas stove. And whenever, and the thing was, is like the heat went to the ceiling. Uh-huh. And I was sitting in like this camp chair that just was in a corner and it was still freezing, you know, at camp chair level. But everybody walked in and it was like 107 degrees, you know. And everybody's like, is this place on fire? Like, what's going on? Here I am just like sitting, shivering in a corner. You know, I think Sean had already gone to bed. And, you know, I was just, you know, trying to, it was probably what, 3 a.m. before everybody rolled back in. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
I had to go back early because like most events, I'm the first to fly out because I have to get back to work. And I got up because they got back at like 3. I had to leave at like 4:30 in the morning. I got up in the whole place, because these are, you know, 8 or 9 big guys.
Yes.
Sounded like a den of lions. Because Mark was next to me at the bed. I had Tony Rouleau and Paul Granger at the foot of the bed, along with somebody else who I don't remember. Just a massive, deep snoring. And you could almost see the walls flex just from like the deep bass. And I was afraid to wake anybody up. So I'm trying to tiptoe out of there, get my prosthetic leg on and not, you know, fall over anything. Yeah, it was fun.
And if I remember right, wasn't it on like the second or third floor of this building? Yeah, and those stairs
were not fun to walk.
Oh my gosh, man. It was like clug, clug, clug. I mean, everybody was just, the neighbors had to have hated us.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't exactly quiet. Even if we tried to be, it just near impossible.
And you could tell that place was old. Super old.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure there was lead pipes everywhere.
I thought I heard somebody calling for Paul Revere. History joke.
So I just got a message from Matt Reganini from Never Not Making. He unfortunately cannot make it tonight. He was trying to, but he's got to jump on a flight. So for those of you that are not in the know, he was actually the reason it happened at Converse World Headquarters. He was a fan of the show, I believe. And he piped up. He's like, hey, we've got some room here. We can make it work. And he hosted the event at Converse, like through his contact, basically. And we as a community, or as a podcast, and myself included, have maintain contact with him throughout the years. And he's been on the show, I believe, as well.
And we just reposted his episode as From the Vault a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a super cool guy.
And he says that it's a shame he can't make it because his voice sounds super amazing and super deep right now because he's battling the flu. So we're missing out on that.
That's his real reason, huh? He didn't want to outshine you.
Should we talk about the venue a little bit too? Because that place was really cool. It was a repurposed building. It was, when we were recording from it, it was, at that time, it was the Converse World headquarters, which I'm assuming it still is. Yeah. I don't remember what it was previously, but it was a cool brick building, kind of the, I don't know, would you call it the Boston Harbor? It was kind of on the water.
It was on the water, and if I remember right, it was right next to like wherever the Celtics play. It was like a block away from the Celtics play.
Yep.
And I want to say it was an old textile factory.
I think that's probably right. I couldn't remember the context, but I think that's probably correct.
Yeah, but I think it was, what, 5-6 stories tall, and it had a really cool architectural feel to it. It had open stairways and kind of an open mm-hmm. concept for, you know, all the artists to, you know, showcase whatever they were working on. And then I actually pulled this down off the shelf. I actually found my old shoe with my old logo on it. So, yeah, that was fun. And then the red stripe down the middle for the Freedom Trail. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was fun.
And I remember the chandelier that they had in the entrance.
Of the shoes, yeah.
Of the shoes.
I have a picture of that awesome that I'll post.
Looking. Yeah. And then the staple artwork that they had of the Converse that was all, I mean, I don't know how big that was, 12 feet wide, that was just all staples of a Converse shoe.
He had some of the coolest art there for sure.
Yeah.
And did you guys mention going up to the top of it?
No, I didn't get to go on that one. That was, you guys like were on it when I got there. You guys are on that tour with Matt.
Oh, it was the night before for the people that were presenting and helping out. We got to take a tour of the entire place, and we got to go up to the very top floor. And I think that's where a lot of us got that really cool picture out the window overlooking the bridge at night. And, you know, I'll repost that one too. This kind of a cool little private tour experience that a lot of people probably don't get to see.
Yeah, we stuffed those giveaway bags for like hours.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah.
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 So all the swag bags, including the Rockler silicone paint.
I'm still using glue brush. Ones.
I use those things
same,
all the time.
Same,
I used
same.
Yesterday. Yep.
And that was in the swag bag, along with like the little bracelets. I don't know if I even have the little. Like,
I have a couple of those.
Jesus
around.
Dude style like mm-hmm. bracelets from Making It 100 floating around, and yeah, it was a lot of work that night.
I was
and
at work,
more stickers than you can count.
I found the lanyard with the little ID things that I had made for everybody. I still have one of those floating around too.
So when are we going to do this again? When are we going to meet up again in person? We got to have something.
Making Geeks episode 300.
What are we on right now?
242.
So 50 more weeks.
About a year.
Hopefully the world gets back to normal by then.
So maybe we should kind of put it out there that next spring, given that we could stay on our track for right now, you know, maybe start kicking around an idea of episode 300. Meet up somewhere.
That would be in the spring, or talk about it in the spring?
For spring 2022.
That's very soon.
That's in
2023.
There we go. Okay. I like that idea. That would be cool.
Where?
Where indeed?
Somewhere not as cold.
I said North Carolina.
Pancakes would be guaranteed to happen that way.
I just want to go back to North Carolina.
So I teased Sean yesterday or today.
Yesterday.
With a couple pictures and videos. So when he was here, like there, anytime we could not find Sean, I would find him in the backyard just like staring out at the trees behind our house. Because they're different to him. The landscape he's used to, as you can fill in, is just, I imagine it's scrub brush. You can correct me wrong. Or just like rough trees, or maybe like, I don't know. It's just kind of like a desolate wasteland of, holy crap.
I mean, in all reality, I don't live that far away from the mountains, which I go to quite a bit, which is actual forest, but it's still not forest like North Carolina. Right. And it's, I don't know, I've always felt most comfortable in those kind of settings. And it's nice seeing what an actual environment and nature looks like.
We just had a
nobody's going to say anything.
We're just staring.
Wait for Wes to kind of introduce.
So I'm staring. Hi. A new person just joined.
I'm kind of in shock.
I'm so happy. Just joined. Yeah, I'm just in shock. Like, I can't believe it.
What's up, guys?
Hello, how's it going?
Wes, you're not going to introduce her? Come on, man. This is an audio podcast.
I've been talking all night.
It is the one. The
it's
only.
Okay that, like, literally none of you know my name, so you just can't introduce me. Gosh.
No, really. Nobody
let's try this name. Again. Joining the podcast for the very first time, although we've been trying for a while, Miss Jesse Ueda is joining us now. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I just finished up a puzzle with my mom, so I'm feeling pretty good.
That's always an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Endorphin rush. Yeah.
You know it.
Uh-huh. So we're here talking about the Boston Making It 100 event that we were at 5 years ago.
I cannot even believe it was that long ago. That's insane.
We were just talking how at the same time, it feels like not very long ago, but it also feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it feels like not that long ago, but like in another life.
Right.
I feel like we were all different person. We were different people back then. So long ago.
Yes. Another timeline.
Yeah. It's crazy though, because I had no idea that oh my gosh, the cat's stuck on the headphones. Okay. I had no idea that this whole universe existed. I didn't know who anyone was. It was such an intense, like, introduction to the whole world. Like, then it's like, oh, here's Jimmy DiResta. And I was like, hi, sir, what do you do?
I would love to hear the story from your perspective of how you ended up there and what you thought of it and all that. I have not heard that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like most things in the past 6 years of my life has to do with my brother very heavily. You might have heard of him. But yeah, when I went to Boston to work with him, I had no idea that there was just this entire world like right behind the curtain. And yeah, he was like, yeah, you know, these three guys are on a podcast. They're going to have an event because they had like 100 episodes. And I was like, that's cool. I don't listen to podcasts, but whatever. yeah, it was this whole big thing because Ben was like, I'm going to get them to do it in Boston. I was like, okay, you're cool, whatever. and so it ended up happening. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a big deal. This is a big thing. Like everyone came here because they're like, you know, super fans and like, but not like in a bad way, not in a creepy, weird way. They're super fans in the way that like everyone is invested in each other in this circle. And I was kind of blown away by that. Like I'd never experienced anything like it before or really since. Like, you know, it's a crazy little community, but everyone's here for it and everyone's here for each other. And to be able to see that firsthand, like, not like it was the beginning, because obviously it was 100 episodes in, but that was kind of the first step, right? Like that got a lot of people, you know, to get out of their workshops and go and be invested in other people as well. And I feel like events have just gotten, you know, bigger and more inclusive since then. And it's
commercial.
Pretty cool. Yeah. A little more commercial. Yeah. Well, you know.
For better and for worse.
Yeah.
But like you say, it was the first big, like, true meeting of the community in my mind.
Yeah. And like
aside
a pure
from maker
meeting.
Fairs and stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. And that, yeah, there's not been anything quite like that. And, it'd be cool if something like that happened again. So we'll see. Cross our fingers.
We were just talking about the possibility of us doing some sort of big event for, Making Geeks 300, which will be coming up in about a year.
Ooh. So what does that look like?
We don't know yet. I just mentioned it about 5 minutes ago.
You haven't come up with a plan yet? Come on, guys.
We are the brainstorming session. You didn't know that?
Oh, this is it. Live on air.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Something kind of different between then and now then is kind of like the size of the group, though, too, or even what you consider the group. And the fact that even the Making It 100 still seemed fairly small in comparison to, you know, gatherings right now. Right. Kind of made it feel, you know, special.
How many people were there?
a good question.
I think I had planned for over 200, and I think there might have been 100, 120. You guys can.
I was going to say they limited it to a number, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they limited it to 100, I believe, to start off with, and then I think they upped it to about 200.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But I think there were still extra tickets. There were. So yeah, probably. So what, 125 to 200, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it was like low 100s, somewhere in there. I think that they were expecting a few more people, but we had a really good group, so I'm glad it was what it was.
Yeah, we were just reminiscing about the long walks across that frigid bridge. I remember walking behind you. It was really dark, and just like traffic was like blaring past us at a million miles an hour, and people were like freezing. And
yeah, Boston's a special place. I do not miss Boston winter. Man, that's a terrible, terrible.
Now, at that time, were you guys living there in Boston?
Yeah. So we were living in Ben had just finished his apartment buildings that he had built out there, and I lived out there for like about 2 years, I think, maybe three. No, two. So I've been out here almost 4 years. Hello, dog. Sorry, I'm house sitting. I've got all kinds of pets. So he had just finished the apartment. So he was like, I don't want to go anywhere. Let's have it here. And he somehow made the other guys agree to it. And so here we are. But it turned out pretty good. It was a fun, like the event space itself was pretty cool. The Converse building. And I know Keith Decent did a really beautiful painting of like the view from outside. There's like a little harbor. And he did a painting that he gave me from like that view from standing there looking out. And so it's like this perfect little memory of this incredibly frigid time with, you know, 150 people that I'd never met before.
It was great. Is that where the Converse thing started, or was the Converse thing a thing before that?
It was before that. Just so happened that we were at the Converse building, and if I remember correctly, some people got some very special Converse made that night. I seem to remember especially Kyle Toth got his cheetah print Converse.
That's right.
And yeah. Josh got a pair too,
Josh
right?
Josh did, yep. Yeah. PI Workshop. Yep.
Yeah, PI Workshop. And I got a Making Geek sticker, which was very special. But yeah, it was a fun time. It was a good event. I think that that's really what we need more of, because we have more events now, but the main takeaway for everyone is always, you know, the hanging out and getting to interact with other people is always the best. And we got to figure out how to make that the thing, right? Yeah. Like at least one event per year where that's the thing. It's like, just come and hang out. Bring yourself.
Yes,
we've made a joke in the past that the best parts of any of these events are usually what happened in the lobbies. So we thought maybe doing like LobbyCon 2022.
You know what? I am so into that idea. I'm so there for LobbyCon. I was talking to the Maker Monster. We had a phone call. Actually, well, we had a Zoom call. It was great. And like, you know, I've known him for like 3 years. He's like, this is like the first time we've really had like a conversation that's not in a hotel lobby surrounded by 200 people. It's like, you know what? You're right. You should do this more often. But yeah, sorry. I'm posting about you right now. I'm not just checking my messages. I'm here. Well, Jesse, I am engaged.
Jesse, I think they were talking about trying to have this out at the poop house. But
well, you know, you all are welcome to come and hang out in my poop house. Everyone is welcome. Bring your own tetanus shots. It's
tempting.
I do have enough property, so you know, once I actually have a working toilet, I will be inviting people, and you all are all invited.
Aw.
Always, of course. That's you awesome. Guys are the best.
I mean, we could even work while you have us out there too.
No, it's my poop house. How dare you? Nobody else touches my garbage but me. It might be special, and I don't know until I touch every piece of it. You never know. Could be the next best thing ever.
Could be.
I think that phrase is going to be used to start the episode now.
Immortalized for all time.
Yes.
I'm fine with that. That works for me.
So speaking of the next thing,
yes,
Workbench Con, right?
Yeah.
Is that our next thing?
It's February, right?
Right.
Yep. February.
2 months away.
Oh, I can't think about that.
I still got to book my flight.
I was thinking about this earlier. Do you think that somebody or we or I don't know how this will work. But maybe I was thinking of printing buttons. If I know somebody that makes buttons, maybe have one that says like hugs are acceptable or like high fives are acceptable. Because like there's going to be this weird social
interaction.
Yeah, because people are going to have different levels of what's acceptable. And there's always going to be every interaction is going to be that weird. I'm not sure you have to like try to read them through. I'm sure it's going to be masked as well if everything's continue on how it is. Now it's just I'm wondering how to simplify those interactions where to make them less awkward because I know they're going to be.
I'm taking notes right now on this, Wes.
I mean, I have a button badge maker.
There we go. Or maybe they can add like an icon to our badges or something, like a little, you look for the icon, you know, like, or it's like X'd out or something like that if you're not okay with it.
Or you could just build a badge that has a screen on it and you can program it.
Considered that.
Oh my gosh.
We know a guy.
That was so cool.
But there should be something coming up for Workbench Con that I think would be fun to participate in together while we're together.
Oh yeah.
Like
that seems ominous.
Well, no, not ominous. In the fact that it's like you're talking about these events that happened in the past and how the focus of the event was just being together. Whereas Workbench Con, the focus of the event is like networking and education and training and all this other kind of stuff. And so amidst all of that, to have something that we can maybe plan out, flash mob, is that what, not the flash mob style, not flash mob exactly, but just something, you know, we can plan out ahead of time to be like, hey, let's do this thing together.
There's an official event planned out for the night before, I believe, but I don't think that's quite the same thing that you're talking about, I assume.
No. I'm not talking about one that's organized by whatever Home Depot or whatever company right. host the event beforehand. No, just while we're there, like a lobby game or something like that. I think it would be fun.
That would be cool.
Donovan, maybe you should set up one of your game sessions. We could all.
I have thoughts on that because I discovered a new program called Arrow. Which is augmented reality stuff. And, it's giving me ideas to implement that into a ARG for Workbench Con. And I was going to talk to all
you
the...
You guys see how Donovan just kind of lit up?
Mm-hmm.
He has a huge smile right now.
Mm-hmm. I was going to talk to a couple companies to hide QR codes in the display booths at Workbench Con to send people off on a little treasure hunt. So if they want to be distracted, you know, from everything else going on, you know, have a little thing where they could go around and do stuff.
We could also have other makers holding some sort of information to encourage people to interact with each other.
Yes.
You know, like there's like key holders or something, you know, something along those lines.
This maker did this, go find them.
There's a certain phrase perhaps that they can give you in conversation, either
boom, boom,
slyly.
Swamp.
Exactly. Exactly. Either slyly or not.
Call back.
Yes.
Well, we were talking about doing that even for Maker Central 100 years ago when we last had it. And the idea was like a maker scavenger hunt. And it was like, it was about you have a list of people and you just go and meet them for the first time. And like then you go and meet a different person from there, a different person. It's like scavenger hunt / bingo. And it's, you know, I think that it's no secret that most of us in this group are like a little socially awkward. So like when you have a reason and like something pre-planned to say, it makes it a lot easier to go up and talk to people, even if you've chatted with them online.
Sure.
And also everyone needs to wear their logos because a lot of people don't post their own photos. And I get really embarrassed when it's like, we've been friends for 3 years. I've never seen your face.
And there's like another layer of confusion on top of that where like one person will wear your logo and you'll wear theirs. And it like I did that at one of the woodworking shows. I wore Andy Berkey's shirt and he wore my shirt. And constantly like people were like mistaking each other for them. I don't know how they mistook me for him, but that's beside the
point. For whatever reason, high compliment, dude.
I mean,
like, you're all right, but you're no Andy Berkey.
I got on the no-fly list from it. I mean, it's pretty good.
Thanks.
There have been dark cars following me ever since.
I barely got home. It's a great time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And can we just say hooray for QR codes, which have gotten their day in the sun back again. We finally found a good use for them.
Definitely. They're everywhere.
So Donovan, you have your work cut out for you.
Yep.
Always. I always have my work cut out for me.
Yes, there have to be more meetings about that.
Well, June we're running 8th. Out of time because it's 2 months away.
I know. So, I know.
Wes, do we have anybody else scheduled to drop in, or should we start transitioning into...
I think we can start transitioning. We had a couple other people that hoped they would make it, but things come up. It's understandable. And I gave so much advance notice that I can't fathom why anybody would not be here. I told people about it.
You not only gave notice, but I checked my messages.
You did.
Which is something I'm not known for doing.
I gave people how much notice? Less than 12 hours. So, I mean, anybody that's actually showed up, like, kudos. And thank you very much. Sometimes the best ideas are spur-of-the-moment ideas. And I'd wholeheartedly agree with that. So,
yeah, I like how you said it and then agreed with yourself.
Yes. I mean, no one else is doing it, so.
I was going to, eventually.
So, as we always do, what are you guys geeking out about this week?
I'm geeking out about 8-Bit Christmas. Has anybody else seen that?
I've seen it and I love it. That is my new holiday tradition to watch my family.
What platform is it on?
HBO Max. Max.
Of course.
For those of you that are not aware of it, it's a new holiday movie with Neil Patrick Harris that is sort of like Christmas Story meets The Wizard-ish meets, what did you guys say?
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, yeah, with the storytelling aspect, yeah. And there's a maker element that surprised me. I didn't expect it coming, so.
Speaking of which, do you think it's going to be a Workbench Con?
Well, I'd mentioned that before because he'd been hanging out with Joel Telling so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point he'll make an appearance at an event. I don't know if it'll be that one, though.
So that's what I've been geeking out about. It's a great show. Highly recommended. Movie.
I can second that one. Yeah. I'm geeking out about Hawkeye. The first three episodes are out at the time of this recording. I've only seen the first two so far. I like it. I think, you know, not every one of these shows that Disney has done has been a hit. But I like the fact that tone is a little bit different. It seems a little bit lighthearted. And it just, I don't know, it's entertaining right now. So if you're into any of the Marvel stuff, I recommend giving it a watch.
Mark, what have you been geeking out about?
Honestly, not much lately. Work's been pretty overwhelming, but I'm geeking out about, honestly, I just configured my Shapeoko CNC to run its G-code sender through a Raspberry Pi with a webcam, so I can sit in my office and have it out there like burning stuff and CNCing while I watch it from in here.
You live on the edge, sir.
I do. So, yeah. But it's so fun to be able to just to control it from my phone and interact with it. And, you know, with four kids, you know, it gives me the little freedom to break away just a little bit enough to keep an eye on it. You know, it's kind of like a baby monitor. You know, you just watch it while it's sleeping or working, either one. Yeah.
Seth, so what do you think? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark. You hit something. Oh. All right. I've got three things, but I'll be quick about them. So I recently got into playing D&D. My sister dragged me into that. So that's stepping up my geek gang. And then almost semi-related to that, I actually won a YouTube giveaway and won a resin printer. So I've been playing with that. Yeah. Oh. So that was really cool. So I've been printing some miniatures for that. And the third thing is The Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime. And if you're not watching that, you need to watch that. Because the series is amazing. I'm sure that the show is going to live up so far.
Have you read the books?
Yes, multiple times.
Okay, we should talk about this. I have thoughts.
Yeah,
I would like to know yours.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. So
that just means that Dom is going to criticize the show. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm not going to. That does not mean I'm good. I don't know where you would get any kind of idea.
The odds
like
are
that.
Pretty good.
You set a precedent.
There are things that they've changed it that I'm like, I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, they have to change some things. So it's like, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it either way. So
Jesse. What are you eating out about? You don't want me to call on you.
Am I still supposed to be here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Well, I wasn't prepared for this, but luckily I have been geeking out on something, and it is a video game called Tales of Iron for the Nintendo Switch, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's you play this little rat, and he is the heir to the rat throne, but then the frogs invade, and then you have to fight the frogs. And his name is Reggie, and he has a brother named Dennis and a brother named Chef, and he's a chef. And it's absolutely adorable. The controls are super weird and do not feel like they were made by a gamer, but the game is fantastic. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at on.
Always know that I can find good recommendations in what to play next by watching your stories.
I play the most random games ever.
I know. Between you and Brett, I'm just like, I'm set for a while. It's fantastic.
Speaking of your stories, didn't you recently get something Zelda themed in the mail that you could? I would geek out about if I got that in the mail.
Oh my gosh, that came as such a surprise. So, when Geeks Craft make these beautiful, beautiful, gigantic maps from video games, and I may have drooled all over my DMs to Nicole, just being like, this thing is absolutely amazing. And that was like, I don't know, a year ago, 10 years ago. I don't know how time works. But then she started posting that she makes miniature ones as like, oh, it's like a Christmas ornament. And I was like, oh my God, that map of Hyrule from Breath of the Wild is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And she messaged me back and she's like, well, good, because I made this one for you and I'm sending it to you today. And I'm not even joking. I made a little tear in this one, in this eye right here. This eye made a little tear because I was just so happy. And it's Gary sized and I cannot wait to like display it properly.
That is amazing.
I'm so happy. She spoils me so.
So describe who Gary is for anybody that may not be acquainted with Gary.
Yeah, Gary sized is not really that descriptive for people who don't know me. Gary is a white-tailed antelope ground squirrel. He is my neighbor in Joshua Tree. And when I say he, all of the squirrels, all of the white-tailed antelope ground squirrels are named Gary. So there are about 10 at my rental and about 13 at the poop house. And so, yeah, he's basically the best thing about my life.
That you have well-trained.
Trained me. Let's not get this backwards. They have trained me to sit outside no matter whether it's 30 degrees or 100 degrees. And I just sit there motionless and hold peanuts for them. And they come and take them, you know, if they feel like it.
It's incredible.
And
it's not just Gary's either. Come on. I've seen the bird literally kiss your lips. Like.
That's George. George is a scrub jay. He's very handsome and he's kind of a jerk. But yes, he does. He will come and get peanuts and he will peck the door. If he can see you through the glass door and you're just like making coffee or lunch or something, he'll peck the door and demand peanuts in like not so subtle way.
This is something from like a modern retelling of like Cinderella or something. It's like a scene from it. I know it.
Right.
You know, I tried to get Gary to help with one of my projects. I built him a house and I made him a little rake out of a fork and he refused to help. All he wanted to do was eat peanuts and sit on top of the camera and you know, like do weird things to the microphone. And so it's like, they're not really very helpful, but you know, very, very handsome. So handsome. So I have no complaints.
Well, Corey, you have to follow that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how to deal with the Snow White of Joshua Tree and all of her animals out there, but I am geeking out about two things. I just purchased land at a fly-in community, so I'm going to have an airplane hangar house, and the hangar will have its own dedicated wood and metal area to build, so I'll be back in a real shop rather than just the piddly little things that I've been doing lately. And then the world's best birthday present on December 22nd, The Matrix is coming out. So I've been waiting forever to see how that's going to, you know, finish up on what was already an incredible trilogy. So
finish? You think it's going to be a finish or the start of something new?
I really hope it's to the start of something new, and especially with like the way the world has changed since the original Matrix came out, like what, 20 years ago, with the new metaverse and all the, you know, craziness that we're living in our online world now. I mean, it almost kind of feels like we're plugged into the Matrix with the world that it's been the last couple of years.
I mean, think about it. They've eliminated payphones from our lives. Like, what perfect way to prevent us from escaping, right? It's not a coincidence.
I did not realize we had that common ground. I feel like a kindred spirit now is part of the show.
I'll call you that evening. So
yeah, it sounds good.
Well, it comes out 4 hours earlier for me, so I'm going to spoil it.
Maybe I'll get it on a VPN and hop on and watch it earlier.
Wait, 4 hours? Are you in Hawaii?
No. I'm in the Midwest and he's out in California. So midnight for me is four hours earlier than him.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
2 hours.
Three.
We're in the Midwest.
Indiana.
Okay.
We're as close as you can get to Central without being Central.
Okay. Can we just acknowledge the fact that the original Matrix came out in 1999?
No, we cannot.
No.
Because I can't believe it.
Was the internet a thing in 99?
It was, believe it or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had an email that I couldn't use because I didn't know anyone who had an email address. Yeah, we just sent faxes to each other.
That was back in the days of MSN Messenger.
AOL.
ICQ.
Yep. AIM.
You've got AIM all the way.
Oh my God. The treble you get up to on AIM as a young person with not a lot of sense. Anyways.
Yes.
That's a whole other episode we could start.
Absolutely.
I almost failed the class in college because of chat rooms.
What? ASL?
What?
Oh my God.
ASL.
Yes, ASL.
Oh,
yes.
It took us all a second.
Yeah.
This is Chris Hansen, NBC.
Anybody younger than, you know, like 35 right now may not even understand what we're saying.
Not American Sign Language, no.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that in forever.
In some ways, I kind of hope not. I mean, because once you're kind of married and stuff, you're not really doesn't have the same effect.
Honestly, I was most interested. I was most interested in the L part of it because it baffled me at the time, and it was like such a novelty to talk to somebody like in Australia, or like across the world, like instantaneous communication. That shows the geek, I guess, side of me more than anything else. But that's the part I loved.
You know what else we love?
We love our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. That, including some of the people that are here, are our patrons. And if you'd like to help support the show, head over there and donate if you wish, if you feel that this episode was worthy of such a cause. Thank you so much for your support.
And if you'd like to make any suggestions for the show, topics, or anything you like, you can do so at our website, makinggeeks.com, right on the contact page. And on the homepage of the site, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there in the browser. Don't forget to check out the shop where we have some Making Geeks merchandise for you to check out and hopefully, maybe pick up. So go ahead and check that out at makinggeeks.com.
And if there is a voice that you heard on the podcast tonight that you don't already follow, for one, for shame. For two, go fix it. So if you want to follow Wes, you can follow him at Geeksmithing. If you want to follow Sean, you can follow him at Geek Builders. Mark, you can follow at Mark...
Make Tinker Share.
Seth?
SC2H5 Creations.
There's got to be. I keep looking at your name like, what is this? What is the story?
I'll tell you later.
What is the story? Because there's got to be a story.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Jess?
Hi, Jessup. All places, everything.
Corey?
I'm at Black Widow Woodworks.
Yay. And myself? At Once Upon a Workbench.
And we want to thank everybody in the live chat for hanging out with us. Always makes the show a little bit more enjoyable. I especially wanted to thank our guests on today's show. I hope that it is not another 5 years before we are able to have these conversations again.
Please.
We don't have to look back on such a long period of time and reminisce. but hopefully be able to see each other in person in the next few months, hopefully. And you can find new episodes of the podcast every Saturday morning-ish on your favorite podcast player of choice. So from all of us to all of you, have a great week.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's good to see everyone.
Fun. Thank you.
Before I completely sign off for the episode, we want to include an audio clip here that we got from Mr. Phil Pinsky from Unclaimed Audio, who wasn't able to attend the live recording of the podcast, but also wanted to share some of his thoughts and reminiscing on Making It 100. So, here it is.
My name is Phil Pinsky, and I am one of the hosts of the defunct podcast Reclaimed Audio. Wes Swain reached out to me yesterday to talk about Making It 100 and to discuss what has happened over the last 5 years. So I'll talk very briefly about the first one, but I have to say Making It 100 was one of the most special days of my life. It was incredible, incredible experience. That whole weekend was a blur, but one of the most incredible experiences that's ever happened to me. Meeting everybody who I had been watching on YouTube, meeting everybody who listened to the different podcasts. I didn't even stay at a hotel. I stayed at Ben Weta's apartment. Like, he invited me months earlier to just crash with him, which was amazing because I had done the whole thing on a shoestring. I had driven from Montreal to Boston, and I remember sort of pulling up to that that Converse building and thinking how cool this whole event was. And it definitely did not disappoint, you know, getting to meet all the guys for Making It and, meeting all the fans, meeting everybody was just the most amazing thing I'd ever done. And what have I been up to in the last 5 years? So we had done the podcast at that point, I think we had 50 episodes. So I guess we'd done it for about a year or so, having stopped doing it about a few months ago. We had done it for about 6 years altogether. So the podcast was going, but I think we sort of stopped doing it because we had said all that we had to say on the topic. I mean, you're looking at 300 plus episodes talking about Reclaimed. There's, in my opinion, I think in the boys as well, and Tim and Bill, we felt that we put the work out there and it was what it was. But for myself personally, I had grown in my career. 2 years ago, I started my own company, implementing ERP systems for small to medium-sized businesses, and I have to say it's going very well. So, and family-wise, I think I had another kid. So now I have three children. I have a boy, a girl, and a boy, Jake, Emmy, and AJ. And family life is great. The work is good. I started a side hustle building ice rinks last year. I'm doing it again this year, but it's been like way too stressful because it's so, so busy. I'm not sure that I'm going to continue doing that, but it's been a wild ride, and I just love where this journey has taken me. Being a maker has allowed me to take advantage of an opportunity like ice rinks. I don't think that I'd been able to do that otherwise. And I'm just very excited to see what the future holds. I'm very grateful to the community, and I wish everybody the best.
And just stuff everywhere. It was so eclectic. I mean, you'd walk 2 feet and see something completely off the wall.